Late on November 24th, 2010, I landed in Dubai, where I would be speaking at a corporate meeting for India's number one telecom company, Bharti Airtel. I had left New York 12 hours earlier after 3 days of appointments with companies along the east coast of the United States. Some of the problems and questions I'd heard that week were still on my mind. The CEOs and senior and mid-level managers alike were wrestling with how the fallout from the debacle in Europe would affect their businesses. How deep and how long would the recession be? Like everyone, they felt battered by the headwinds of a slowing global economy, global competition, and fast change. Arriving at the hotel, I freshened up and headed to the conference room, passing through the lobby, where 160 of Bharti's top managers were mingling. 46 of them were Africans who were new to the company following Bharti's acquisition just a few months before of Zain, a collection of telecom assets in 15 African countries. They were now part of the managerial mix of Bharti Airtel, along with leaders from Sri Lanka and Bangladesh, where the company had expanded the year before. Many wore typical Western business garb. Others wore traditional African clothing. All were speaking English. The majority appeared to be in their 30s, and some looked even younger than that. But youth alone didn't explain the unmistakable difference between this group and the leaders I'd seen just hours earlier. A physical and psychological ocean away. There was energy, optimism, and excitement in the air. This company, already among the top 5 mobile operators in the world in terms of subscribers, was on the move, and its leaders knew it. Bharti had grown from nothing to a multi-billion dollar global leader of its industry in a matter of 15 years. Why won't it win in the United States or Europe at some future point in time, I wondered. Yet its phenomenal growth and the entrepreneurial verve of its founder, Sunil Mittal, are all but unknown in the Northern Hemisphere. That moment crystallized for me an unmistakable truth. The world has tilted. Its economic center has shifted from what have traditionally been called the advanced or Western countries of the Northern Hemisphere to fast-developing countries including China, India, Indonesia, Brazil, and others in the Middle East, and even parts of Africa. For decades, the standard view was that the transfer of technology, managerial know-how, and capital was from West to East, from the United States and Western Europe to Japan, South Korea, and the Asian tigers. But today, the flows are generally from North to South. In geographic terms, the dividing line is the 31st parallel. The division is rough. For example, Japan and South Korea are essentially northern countries in their economies and business practices, but it's a simple shorthand way to view the tilt. Wealth is moving from north to south, and so are jobs. Companies in the South, big and small, have a fierce entrepreneurial drive. Many are reveling in double-digit revenue growth, bringing jobs and prosperity to their home countries. They are building scale and challenging companies of the North on all fronts. They have huge momentum, while the old heavyweights, some of which have dominated their industries for decades, can barely eke out low to middle single-digit growth. The South is driving change. The North is afraid of it. Many business leaders in the North are blind to the magnitude of trends. Some are accelerating the tilt by transferring their technology, brands, know-how, and real assets to the South, all in the search for much higher growth than they see in their own home base. Some blame such things as cheap labor, currency manipulation, and protectionism for their struggles. These are problems, but much bigger forces drive the tilt, and the Northern leaders have not yet come to terms with the world as it is today and as it is emerging. How, then, can they devise a clear-headed response? Understanding the new dynamics of global competition and economic behaviors is an unconditional requirement for business leaders from the North and the South, even in companies that are smaller or consider themselves domestic. Very few businesses are immune to the changes.